terrorists declare war on the United States.
Military officials here at the Pentagon are confirming that seven are dead. At
least. Armored vehicle stands guard.
Downtown New York in chaos.
The 7.0 quake was centered roughly 10 miles from the capital city.
We want the public to feel safe.
Thousands likely dead.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast. Things that never change. God and His Word. Join Pastor Randy Reams as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
I want you to understand who's writing, "We rejoice in our tribulation." Paul. Now, if I took you to 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 11, listen to this. Five times he was whipped with 39 stripes. Three times beaten with rods. Three times shipwrecked. Stoned once. Okay, not in the Oregon, Washington, Colorado sense. This guy who's been through, and he goes on to list hunger and sleeplessness. And this guy says, "We rejoice in our tribulation." He doesn't say, "We rejoice in our tribulation because the car broke down." Well, that is the second car. "We rejoice because the dishwasher broke down. I actually have to wash dishes by hand." See, sometimes what we think is tribulation isn't. But listen, this is the guy who's saying, "You rejoice in getting beat with a rod? How many want to sign up for that? I'll bring a rod next week." No. Huh? He gave you the ministry of it, okay. Yeah, everybody wants. Nobody wants to be the other side of it. All right? I don't know about you, but one of the ways I never wanted to go was in a shipwreck. I don't like the idea of drowning. So, you know, Bob was in the Navy. I'm going, not me. Put me on the ground where they just shoot at me, I'd be okay. All right? But I don't fall into the water and try to have sharks eat me or something. That's just one. But he's shipwrecked three times. People threw rocks at him and left him for dead. And I rejoice in my tribulation. What? There are two Greek words that in your Bible are translated endure, patience, perseverance. And the only difference is the ending. One wins in an omicron, an O sound. Hupomono. The other is hupomone. Two words. So that first one lends in the O. I know you don't need to remember it. But sort of endure with patience. Hang in there, wait it out. But hupomone, which is used here by Paul, is cheerful endurance. You can look it up in Strong's yourself. I didn't make that up. Cheerful, hopeful endurance. It's used five times in the book of Revelation. Those who persevere to the end. Not those who just make it. Who hang on to the end of the rope till finally Jesus comes back. No. Cheerful, hopeful endurance in Revelation five times. You see the two contrasts, by the way, if you go to James 5:11, you'll see the word endure used twice. It's both of those words in one phrase, okay? It is used of Job in James 5. But I think the best way that sort of articulates the concept of hupomone is James 1:2-4. You've heard it before. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, difficulties, struggles," depends on what version you have, "knowing that the testing of your faith," notice what it is, notice what the trial is, it's a test of your faith, not of God's faithfulness. "The test of your faith produces cheerful, hopeful endurance," perseverance. "And let perseverance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." God, take care of my lack. Okay, I don't know if the Word of Faith people really see it that way. Okay. So it's not perseverance in this sense, hupomone, is not hanging on to the end of the rope waiting for the rescuers to come. All right? It's continuing to climb up the rope with joy and expectant hope. It is action moved by an inner attitude that finds its strength in Christ. It's moving forward when it makes no sense to move forward. And when you use non-biblical literature, you can look at this word and see how it's used. One of the ways it's used is speaking of a sword's ability to take blows. So I'm fighting you with a sword, and my sword doesn't break, yours does. It's used in that context. I'm going to ask you a question. How does a sword get that strong? Tempering. Fire.
Water.
Fire.
Water.
If you know, that's how they temper metal. From fire to water. From tribulation. Okay? They've actually used it in that word of a sword. Let me ask you a question. When the fight's on, does your sword break? So that first one is God uses struggles. We don't like that, especially when you combine it with the next one, time. He fought 7 years. Now, I know we have and we honor those who have been deployed in the military to fight war more than once. They've been there the third tour, second tour, whatever. But could you imagine if the tour was 7 years? What's the average? Anybody know what's the average tour of our guys? Does anybody know?
1 year.
1 year? So you get a year, and then you come home for a while. And then if you go, do you have to volunteer to go back, or do they send you back? Okay, both? Yeah, okay. Is Tim at drill this week? Yeah, see, okay. So Tim's not here. But that's, we know that after a year in battle, it starts to wane even on the psyche of a guy trained for war. Right? And let's say he's logistics. He's not fighting every day. A year he gets to come home. Joshua did it for 7 years. You know, when you come home, you can lay down, besides the nightmares maybe, but you can lay down and nobody's going to come shoot you. You know, it depends on where you live, all right? But realize, for 7 years, the Israelites, there were guys who didn't sleep at night, and probably half of them slept with one eye open. And if they have wives like our wives, they were worried about their husbands, so they slept with one eye open, or their sons. Time, it's that, are we there yet? Come on, you've been in the car, right? Are we there yet? For them, the child in the back, just suffering misery. I mean, I don't have my Xbox. I don't have my friends. And are we there yet? Don't ask that again. I'll let you know when we're there. Oh, I'm sure you've never done that. But this idea of time, we're not comfortable. If Christmas could last all year, how about Christmas shopping? How about putting away the decoration? How about if that lasted all year? You know, I try to get my shopping done early, so even before Thanksgiving, so I ain't got to do the crazy stuff, all right? Time. We don't like the idea that, and especially when you include it with the first one. He uses trial, suffering, difficulty, and time. Oh, I could deal with maybe trial and suffering, but when you add time to that, I don't want to go through a long time or even a medium time of suffering and difficulty. But by definition, perseverance has to take time. But how we continue in the process, and I would imagine Joshua did too, we had to recognize the temporal, that's temporary, nature of trials and struggles. Now, and I've heard this before, and you've heard it before, and I can't name the survey of the place, but, you know, was it 80, 90% of what we worry about never happens? Okay, kind of thing. But we got to recognize troubles come, but troubles go. Now, come on. When you were 16, what'd you worry about? What was a trial and a trouble to you at 16? Oh, my gosh, Lord, I got a pimple on my forehead, and the girl I think's cute's coming to church today. That's a trial to you when you're 16. It came and went. Right? If you have baby, those right, Autumn, those nights where you're getting up in the middle of the night and feeding the baby and you're so dog tired you don't know what to do, that'll pass. And you'll long for the day that little one sat in your arms and you had to feed him in the middle of the night. It comes and it goes. The older you get, I think maybe you recognize that more. 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18. Therefore, do not lose heart. Let me put it my way. Don't quit. Though the outer man is decaying, those of us who are older, so we know that, okay? Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For my light, affliction. Now, I'm about you, but it says, wait a minute, that just means light affliction. It doesn't mean hard affliction. Well, he's using it in contrast to something else. It's light compared to. It's not necessarily fighting the cancer that's light, but when it's light compared to. Compared to what? This light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight. Yeah, there's a weight here, but there's also an eternal weight. Far beyond, our eternal weight of glory, far beyond our comparison. We can't, that's why he calls it light. The guy who's been beaten, shipped, he calls that light. I don't, he does, compared to the glory that's to come. Well, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We've lost, I think, now when I was a kid, Jesus was coming back tomorrow type of thing, all right? It was imminent in that sense. And so they always sang songs about, and this is the way it's phrased today, the sweet by and by. Today we have forgot the sweet by and by, and we all think about the now. I've actually heard preachers on TV, I don't care about the now, it's sweet done. I want the right now. Yeah, I won't tell you of what the doctrinal thinking those people are, right? But it's not. It says that you must believe that God is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. It isn't just that he is, that he actually has a reward. Now, I don't sue that so you get greedy. Ooh, what's my reward? But I want you to understand, giving of yourself to God, living the Christian life, being active in the kingdom, God promises rewards. Whether it's the parable of the talent or the parable of the minas, there are different rewards, but that's not the point. Okay? So we have to look to that which is eternal. And I'm going to be honest. I can't really comprehend eternality. And if I can't see it, I know. This pastors aren't supposed to say this because we walk on faith all the time and see the unseen and, you know, talk to God face-to-face stuff. But God gave us something that's eternal that you can see. Anybody have a clue what that is? The Word of God. Okay? So one of the other things he uses trials, he uses time, but he uses the truth of God's Scripture, of his Word. Okay? Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Everybody else's, but not mine. That's usually what happens. Well, that was for them. That applies to you. Depends on who you interpret it. But anyway, earlier times were written for our destruction, so that through perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hold. Now back up. Remember I said God gives it? What does he give? Perseverance and encouragement. How does he do that? Through the Scriptures. Those two words are right here. So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Okay? It's not some self-help thing. Seven ways to persevere and you go find yourself a business consultant. It's in the Word of God where that is found. We find cheerful endurance for us in the Scriptures. I find cheerful endurance in the fact that the guys in there messed up too. And God still loved them. God still used them. So if I messed it up, gee, I got to stop operating in the kingdom. Remember, we talk about our own self-failures. No. These things, whether it's Scripture and even time through trial, teach us to keep our eyes on Christ. You all know the story of Peter walking on water. Everybody uses this analogy in that process. But Hebrews chapter 12, starting in the second half of verse 1, verse 2. Let us run with perseverance, cheerful, hopeful endurance. Same word, hupomone. The race that is set before us. One version says marked out. It's not just a race. It's a particular race. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, and I love this part, the author and perfecter of our faith. I'm not the perfecter of my faith, and I'm sure not the author of it. There are those who try to make you believe that you're the one that produces faith. If you do the right things, say the right words, some reason you produce it. Okay, no, he's the author of it, and he's the perfecter of it. Who? the author and perfecter, Jesus, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Different endure here, not hupomone. Okay, there's another Greek word there, but it's translated here in the NAS, endure. Despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What he did was this. What they're saying is this. The author and our finisher had his mind, his heart, set on the end goal of setting down the victory at the end. Notice it doesn't say had the resurrection. No, 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 no. Even he's our example. Even though, was that a victory? I'd say so. Resurrecting's a victory. But it's the end result of him on the throne in heaven. He endured that. He persevered that. Then we're supposed to run with that. Those things teach us to put our eyes in Christ, and they teach us to trust in God's goodness and faithfulness. In case you didn't know, the cross was a good thing. Paul's imprisonment was a good thing. No, I don't consider it a good thing if you beat me with rods. I'd be sitting and whining you and tell you how I'm persecuted. I'm being real. I'm like you. But see, for all things worked for the good. You shipwrecked 3 times, beaten with rods 3 times, whipped with 39 stripes 5 times, and wait a minute, I don't know if I believe that verse. Okay? Because we're not keeping our eyes on Christ, we're looking at our own difficulty and suffering. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. My soul, wait in silence for God only. For my hope is in him. He only is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold, I will not be shaken. O God, my salvation and my glory. My glory rests, the rock of my strength, my refuge. I trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him, for God is our refuge. That's the place you go when they're beating you. That's the place you go when you're shipwrecked. That's the place you go when you're thrown in prison. If you don't believe me, read the story of Paul and Silas. That's where you go. You go to, wait a minute, God, I know you're good. I know you're faithful. It's not like I'm here in the shipwreck and you forgot that I threw your plan off. But that means somewhere, if I know God's goodness, the shipwreck is good for me. I can't see it. I know. You just keep reading how good God is in scriptures. Now, my Bible, I take the Psalms in particular. And you know how it is. Oftentimes, David whines, like we all do. They got the precatory Psalms where he says, go get the bad guys, God. You got that. But in the middle of most of them, there's a section that he just stops and goes, yeah, but God is good. God is incredible. God, he goes on to these little rant and raves about the amazingness of God. I have those highlighted in my Bible, so I can turn to the Psalms, and I know this, I can read just those. Why? Because sometimes that's what I need. I just need to be reminded. Even if you read about Christ being forsaken on the cross, please go read Psalms 22. Starts, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You get halfway through it, but you did not forsaken me. And it starts talking about the one may be proclaimed to the next generation. And you got to remind yourself through the word of God's faithfulness and goodness. Actually, in this process, we can discover and live God's will and purpose for our lives. Hebrews 10 and 36. For we have need of hupomone. That means you need it. We have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise. I find many people, we sit in church and sit at home and wait for God to reveal his purpose to us. It don't work that way. It's going and doing and being uncomfortable and out of your comfort zone and inconvenient. And as you begin to move in that process, why? Because those are trials in and of themselves. They may be small. We begin to recognize what it's like to walk in obedience to the things of the kingdom. And I'm going to be honest, it'll set you on fire. Not in a negative sense, okay? It'll bring you alive as you do that. But if you just set every week and you come and wait for the pastor to stir you up and give you some encouragement to get through the next week, and you go home and I keep asking God to show you what his will is, what your purpose is, I would suggest you get out and do something. Moses was tending sheep when he saw a burning bush. Now, was tending sheep his destiny? Yes. The sheep were just people. See, but he wouldn't have seen the connection at the time. You might volunteer to help in a soup kitchen. You might, and you, I don't know if it's my purpose. But you know what? The Bible says we should be feeding the poor, taking care of the... So I don't have to pray about it. I'll just go do that. And what you find out along the way is you have the gift of encouragement. Maybe. You know, you're supposed to be handing out corn and mashed potatoes. But you find yourself just encouraging the people. Man, and you'll be surprised that people that are really, Barnabas, by the way, means son of encouragement. The one who found Paul and took him to Antioch and got him started in ministry, went on journeys with him. Okay, along the way, you find that you're a good listener. I'm not the best, my wife will tell you. Okay, along the way, you discover these things. But here's one of the difficult parts. Those who do persevere don't live in the past. They learn from it, like Joshua learned from the past, right? But he didn't say, man, I was defeated today. I just don't got it right. I can't do it. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, these guys tricked me, and they made a pact, and we weren't supposed to make a pact. I just can't be the leader. Moves on. And I want to summarize with these verses, or end with these verses. James 1:7, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, we quit because we don't believe the promise. We don't believe it's that wonderful. We need to persevere. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable. I already read it. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your toil is not in vain. Each of those parables I mentioned earlier, was the minas or the talents, those people were about the owner's business. Occupy till I come. They were about the owner's business. At the end, there's a reward. We're supposed to be about the Father's business. We're supposed to be doing his thing. And as we do that, as we persevere, we continue to do it again. And you've done all you can do to stand. Stand. But wait a minute. I thought it's after all I can do. That's right. It is after all you can do. Now it's you and him. Because you tried it your way. After you've done all you could do, now stand. Stand in the strength in his Christ as you do the things in the kingdom, the good works he's predestined to you, Ephesians, for you to do. But I'm going to be honest. Here's what we like to do. You do them and I'll give you a check. You don't discover perseverance in that. You know what I mean? I want to help those in trial and struggle. Yeah, but you don't learn perseverance there. You learn perseverance when you go through that trial and struggle. Well, you don't understand. I want perseverance now. You don't want to go through the time process. God, I want you to teach me, but you only crack the word when Pastor mentions a message in Sunday mornings. God, that I could cheerfully endure. Now, parents, imagine. You say to Junior, mow the lawn, or to your little girl to clean the room, whatever they're doing. And they sang with joy while they did it. What would that mean to you? See, it brings joy to our Father, Heavenly Father, when He looks down and it's difficult and it's hard and you would rather be, and you're doing it with joy. Well, you know what, God? If I can't do it for me for joy because of what you did for me on the cross, I'll do it with joy. If it touches your heart, if it's any way that I can give any kind of gratitude, as limited as my physical can, I'm going to give it to you by having joy, having cheerful endurance when it's hard. Yeah, but they were sitting in my place on Sunday, and I didn't have my spot. Oh, you'd be surprised. Well, there wasn't any parking, so we just went home. I tell you what, here's what you do when you got to park a block and a half away. Get out of the car and sing all the way to the front door. For one, you'll be ready for worship, and you'll put a smile on God's face. Because you're discovering and putting your trust. He meant for you to park a block and a half, 2 blocks away. His providence is a sovereignty. We're not going to go into that. Let's stand. Father, as we look at your word, some of the things there are sort of hard to swallow. Can't you just zap us with perseverance? Couldn't you just do that? But God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know it's going to take the word. You know it's going to take time. You know it's going to do that whole suffering difficulty thing. But God, teach us along the way to hupomone. To cheerfully and in hope of all you have for us, walk it out. And I'll guarantee this, Lord, and I know you will too, that the world will look and you say, what that guy has, I need. And again, you're glorified in it. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.